right now I'm very happy to welcome to our program Michelle Higgins. She is director of the group Faith for Justice and part of the organizing team with the group Organization for Black Struggle. She's also director of Worship, Arts, and Community Engagement at South City Church in St. Louis, Missouri. Michelle, it's great to have you on the show this evening. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
And I say that it's very good of you to join us this evening because I know you've had an extremely busy several days, if not several weeks, in working on a host of issues and actions across the country. I've read that there have been more than 20 cities that have participated in a series of actions over the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend, where people have been participating in protests, vigils, teach-ins, nonviolent civil disobedience to continue the Black Lives Matter movement and reclaim the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King's agitation for radical social transformation and justice. Exciting things. I've seen some stories on the internet, as I know some of our listeners have, about these actions and protests. But Michelle, maybe you could begin by telling us a little bit about the inspiration for this weekend's protests and actions.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a wonderful response around the country, across the country, east to west coast. And what inspired us especially has been the past 30 years when Martin Luther King Jr. Day was established. There was an almost immediate desire to commercialize Dr. King's vision and his radical idea that in order to improve our nation, we must address systemic ill. So the I Have a Dream speech became the central and often the only thing that children are taught in school about Dr. King, his arrest record for not resisting arrest in different protests was sort of softened and sanitized, and often the brutality that he experienced and those who suffered graver brutalities on account of participating in the pursuit of social justice. Those bits of information, which were large parts of Dr. King's story and the story of the other inspiring leaders of the civil rights movement, those stories were taken out of our history books and taken from our pop culture narrative even. And so we've been inspired, many of the different movements that participate in the larger movement for Black Lives, we've been inspired for a while to reclaim MLK is our hashtag. And so the 20 plus activities that went on in different cities were deliberately desanitizing, decommercializing this image of a purified, a peacekeeping Dr. King. And we're admitting, we're proclaiming that peacemaking is actually quite loud and disruptive.
And Michelle, tell our listeners about the links between the work and dedication to civil rights that Dr. Martin Luther King was all about, and the current movement of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, the main idea, especially as we enter into Black Heritage Month from Dr. King's commemoration of his birthday, is this idea that the civil rights movement is somehow over, somehow that because we have achieved racism or discrimination as illegal broadly, federally, there's an assumption that discrimination no longer occurs. But Ella Baker herself, one of the greatest civil rights movement leaders, if not the mother of civil rights movement, Ella Baker said, once we get legislation passed, we're still not free yet. We're not free until we know that we have control over what happens in our communities. We're not free until institutions, until the government divests from building prisons and invests in building Black futures. We're not free. And so the Reclaim MLK and the modern Black Lives Matter and Movement for Black Lives, those movements are actually a continuation of a civil rights struggle that never ended. The era of civil rights has not ended. In fact, Coretta Scott King herself said, generations, different generations will struggle for freedom in their own way. And that's what the Black Lives Matter movement is. And that's what the broader network of movements for the dignity and value of all Black lives are striving towards. I mean, we face issues with specifically people of color who are transsexual, are abused and targeted. People of color who have committed past crimes find that there is no opportunity for rehabilitation, real rehabilitation in their communities. People of color who are innocent and yet are still convicted and imprisoned without regard to the fact that when you're poor, you don't have access to excellent care from the law, to good defense attorneys. There's no consideration in our system that freedom, this actual releasing of enslaved people, making lynching illegal, all that did was change a law. We are now after making the laws effective by forcing people to admit that their hearts are still hard. And that is why we resist. We have to resist the efforts to keep peace, which is just telling us to be quiet, in order to make transformative change, which is demanding that we raise our voices, share our stories, and be accepted as citizens, as fellow citizens in this country. And there's a long history to that, obviously. Native people, our country is born through genocide. And so we have a lot of truth-telling to do in order to get to that place where it's time to shake hands and hug and sign some papers. We're not there yet. Right now, it's time to be in the streets and to demand that our states address the violence that they sanction. And so for us, this so-called modern civil rights movement really is deeply connected to the movement that was begun or even rebuilt, because there are other movements before Dr. King. But the movement that he rebuilt truly is still going on, because we do still have Black bodies lying in the streets. We do still have poverty that impacts people of color very differently from other ethnic groups in our country. And we have to address the fact that we have buried, we have dismissed these problems, and we have chosen indifference over action. Dr. King himself said that it's not the Klan that was frustrating him in his day. It was white moderates who preferred to be civil, to be respectable, and to refuse to resist because they were so comfortable. And they knew that true justice would mean they would have to lose something in order that their fellow man might gain.
Beautifully said. Thank you, Michelle. For our listeners who may not have heard a lot of the details about these protest actions, vigils, civil disobedience that took place around the country over this King holiday weekend, describe some of the actions for us.
Our partners in Chicago hosted a rally and a march specifically focusing on police brutality and crime. So corruption, punitive killings, especially killing of Black people by law enforcement, recent cover-ups going on in Chicago were brought to light. The broad appeal that I have sensed from these actions is to shine a light on something that everybody hoped would remain covered up, to shine a light on issues and corruption that people are begging citizens to leave invisible. We have to make it visible. And our commitment really is not to destroy a system that might have some good. We're not saying no one should ever be punished. Our commitment is to destroy the evils, to take down and restructure a system that has to be renewed if it's going to work. And we really can't develop a healthy trust in law enforcement unless and until law enforcement is ready to admit that they have to be held accountable. So it's been a very striking, a very important move in our partners around the country to see them say, we're going to continue this rallying cry, and we're going to continue to focus boldly on the brutality, corruption, and state-sanctioned killings that are going on in our cities around the country. And that was, in Chicago, a really excellent focus for right now. In St. Louis, our struggle has been not only with police brutality and corruption, but with drawing moderate, perhaps hesitant people from the sidelines into the movement. People who would click like on Facebook, who haven't stepped out of their houses to raise their voices in unity with people in this movement, with folks who are in the struggle. People who would say, I'm going to read this book, but I'm not quite ready to march hand in hand in certain sections of my city that I deem quote-unquote dangerous. We decided to do a movement that incorporated faith communities, activists, and protesters from all walks of life. We intentionally set out in the city of St. Louis to connect people who normally would not look each other in the eye and call one another friends. So our event was focused on reclaiming MLK by taking our neighborhoods and really challenging each other to behave more like family. And a huge part of that is admitting we have to admit that we don't see people of color as human. We treat them, and I am black, so I'm able to speak from experience. We treat people of color as if they are grotesque, as if they are either subhuman or superhuman. And so our neighborhoods suffer by the divisions that we create. And in order to begin to tear down those walls, we have to shine the light on them and admit that they are there. So the greatest part of our actions over the weekend were different teach-ins and opportunities to sing and promote and connect with one another. But we intentionally went to a specific place in St. Louis on the south side where three major communities intersect: African Americans, white folks, and people who are immigrants and refugees. And these three communities represent about 20 countries between Black Americans and Black Africans, between people from Southeast Asia and from Eastern Europe, and they don't cross lines. They don't get along. But if Dr. King's dream is to be more than a dream, we have to open our eyes and see each other. This is the problem with demanding that Dr. King is just a dreamer. The problem is that we will condition our children to only dream and to not live and to not fulfill the dream that he passed down to us. And so we deliberately had families. There were so many babies there. We had families march and hold this massive intersection at Grand and Gravois in South St. Louis. And we remembered the black bodies that have fallen in our city at the hands of police officers. We commemorated the organizers, the activists, the protesters who came out and demanded answers and are still demanding justice. We looked upon and gathered around the parents of Von Derrick Myers Jr. who fell at a police officer's hand on the south side of St. Louis, and we committed to them that we would seek justice in ways that are not comfortable, but we would seek justice by refusing to put our money into places that support state-sanctioned violence. We would seek justice by supporting our communities, by building up our children, by demanding better and more attention to the things and the painful, awkward realities that we've been trying to suppress. Instead of covering it up, we committed to shedding light on it. And to me, that is reclaiming MLK.
Thank you, Michelle. We're speaking with Michelle Higgins this evening on Counterpoint, our listener-sponsored WPKN in Bridgeport. Michelle is director of the group Faith for Justice and part of the organizing team with the Organization for Black Struggle, and director of Worship, Arts, and Community Engagement at South City Church in St. Louis, Missouri. We're talking about actions, protests, vigils, as well as civil disobedience that took place in 20 cities across the U.S. over the Martin Luther King holiday this weekend. And Michelle, in addition to actions drawing attention to the critical issue of police violence in communities of color. I also read about a lot of speaking to King's attention to the struggle for economic justice, and a lot of actions focused on the struggle for a $15 minimum wage and fairness in the workplace, the struggle to unionize in places like fast food restaurants and the big retailers. Can you speak to the arm of activists who engaged in those kinds of public actions?
Yes, absolutely. And in Missouri, we have a group called Missouri Jobs with Justice, and they're all focused on a livable wage, understanding that the only real way to have economic substantive reforms and economic gains is to value where we put every dollar and the manner in which we treat the people that make our lives livable. And so the idea is to stand up, and really we stand in front of McDonald's, we stand in front of Wendy's and Burger King, we stand in front of the fast food restaurants that people take for granted. And we stand in front of these places and we say, you need to humanize these workers and provide them with a wage that you know you could live with. And that's the interesting thing about especially people of color in these areas. Reclaiming MLK actually means providing opportunities and feeling the pain of redistribution that is actually going to bring about a more empowered and safe community so that people can provide for themselves. Our country actually spends more money providing health care, welfare, and multiple other services to people who need it simply because their jobs are not paying them well. We spend so much more money from our federal budget on issues like providing young children with eyeglasses when they need them because their parents can't just go to America's Best or to another optometrist shop and pick out the things that their kids need. If someone cannot earn a livable wage, then they actually become dependent upon the systems and the institutions of the state that provide them with the supplemental things that they need just to live. So what if we redistributed? And a big part of our second tier of demanding change is that we are personally divesting from corporations that abuse people of color. We are personally walking away from Walmart. We are saying we will not shop at these massive corporations that disrespect their workers and don't want change. Mm-hmm. We want to invest in artists, local opportunities, local grocery stores. We want to see community farms. We want to support the arts from African American artists and artists of color. We are intentionally funding Black futures. And sometimes that gets us into some trouble because that's a little bit political, you know. But legislation is a place where we can begin to make change for more substantive gains. So we had gatherings. We've had gatherings throughout the year, especially around the living wage demand. Mm-hmm. And we actually believe that it empowers people to control their futures rather than relying upon whatever they can scrape together and having no idea what their provision will be for tomorrow.
Michelle, we only have a few minutes left. Could you summarize for our listeners the three central demands that were part of these nationwide actions over the Martin Luther King holiday? And they were divesting from racist systems and investing in Black communities, which I think mm-hmm. you just touched on right there.
Yeah.
Invoking and recapturing community control and establishing alternative institutions.
Yeah. So the first one I definitely touched on. So I can really talk invoking and recapturing community control for sure is a place where we are looking at asking the people who are most impacted by the injustice to be the first ones on the front lines to cry out for justice. So what have we done in the past? We have found the people who live in wealth, who have a lot of privilege, and we have asked them, will you speak for us? This is the place where I believe 40-plus years ago, some of the movements got it wrong. This is the place where now we are asking people with privilege in our community to go out and create a space for those who are most impacted by injustice to raise their voices. Community control means my story belongs to me. And when I tell it, those who are listening can trust that it is true. Community control means that when I tell you I am not making a livable wage, when I tell you that I am in need, you can trust that I am the expert because I'm the one most impacted by the injustice. And that leads directly into alternative institutions. The history that we are reclaiming by setting up and by really displaying how radical Dr. King, Ella Baker, and their partners were, by showing and revealing the truth about this history, we are demanding freedom schools that teach a truer, fuller history. We're demanding that we understand the full truth behind the Black Panthers movement and the Black Liberation movement. And we're actually inviting people who don't look like us to come and learn that history too. And so the alternative institution point for me is one that is in building stages now, but it has a firm hope in the future that all of our institutions will be impacted by a reclaiming, a commitment to truth-telling about everything our country has done in order to really make a shift so that our country can be what it truly claimed it is supposed to be.
Beautifully stated. Michelle, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight talking about these important actions that took place over these last several days. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much. And yeah, thank you.
Michelle, tell us, tell our listeners how they'd stay in touch with the movements that you're involved with and generally speaking, the groups involved all across the country continuing the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King in the Black Lives Matter movement, economic and social justice actions that persist throughout the entire year.
Absolutely. ReclaimMLK.org is never going away. In fact, we had such a powerful movement over this past weekend that we'll continue to update and add to that site, which is run by the Movement for Black Lives, and they have a website as well. There are trainings, there are mass meetings that will continue to happen because the civil rights movement is not over. To reclaim MLK is not a once-a-year tradition, and so you'll see more events coming up, especially localized events. I think the nice thing about this website is you have the opportunity to look at a map to see where you are, and to find the event closest to you, and to connect on the ground locally. So to keep up with that website is absolutely the best way.
And that's reclaimmlk.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
All
yep.
right. Again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Michelle. Inspiring the work that's being mm-hmm. done, that you're working on, and I look forward to staying in touch and hearing more about the actions and agitation going on that you're involved with. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night. That was Michelle Higgins, director of the group Faith for Justice and part of the organizing team with Organization for Black Struggle.